Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos Daf Tzadik Aleph Tzadik Tes. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes on Aleph on the top line. Tan Rabbanan. In our previous shir, we had a discussion about the coverings of the Mishkan. We had discussed that the bottom covering of the Mishkan were made out of various materials, which will be identified right now in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem. And then we also discussed that on top of those Uriah, on top of that, the bottom covering we learned yesterday was called the Mishkan, and on top of that we learned there were the Uriah's Izim. So starts the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, Uriah's HaTachtonis, the lower covering, which were called, as we just said, the Mishkan, were made out of Tcheles, Shatcheles, blue wool, Shalagom, purple wool, Veshatla, Shomni, red wool, Veshalshesh, linen, Velyonis, and the upper one were made out of Maisi Izim. They were made out of goat. They were made out of goat hair. And says the Gemara, Ugdoyla Chachma, Shenemra Bel Yonis, there was much greater expertise required in constructing the upper ones, Yoisim Mashenemra Betachtonis, versus the lower ones. Deal Betachtonis Ksiv, by the lower one, the Pasuk says, V'chol Isha Chachmas Lei B'yodeh Tovel. It says, every wise woman spun with her hands these curtains. However, the greater knowledge, greater expertise was required for the upper ones. And the Gemara explains why was that the case. The hair was washed while they were still on the goat. The tovim in izim, and they were spun while on the goat, and that requires greater expertise. And as I saw, the Divrei Shaul from Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon explains both psukim speak about chachma slave. What's the difference that in the person, one pasuk says chachma slave, and the one other pasuk says ashenosan libay b'chachma? So he explains. The Gemara Masech the Brachas, Daf Nun Hei Oman Aleph teaches us, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Noisen Chochma, Ela Mi Sheyesh Bei Chochma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu only gives wisdom to one that already is wise. But that special Chochma, he explains, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to someone who is already wise, he says, only happens if you first have your own intelligence. Somebody who doesn't have his own intelligence cannot receive that chachma. So that's what he says. V'chol isha chachma slev, if she already had chachma, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu added to that chachma. And then says the pasuk, V'chol anoshim shenosan liban osan b'chachma, not as a whole new level. That they were already women, ashenasa liban oisam b'chachma. They had this great degree of intelligence. And with that great degree of intelligence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu added to them the ability to do this very special type of weaving. What is the very special type of weaving? That while the wool was still on the animal, they spun it. Why was that done? So they saw that the Sefer Daf al Adaf gives a number of explanations why is that preferable. One explanation, he says, that the wool that's woven while it's still on the animal's back has a special glow, a special shine. And even though the wool is going to ultimately, obviously, be cut off the animal, but still, as long they wanted to spin it and weave it while it was still on the back of the animal with that special luster, so that when they gave it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be to the Mishkan, it should be given in the nicest way possible with its tremendous shine. Another pshat that he suggests is that the wool, while it's still on the back of the animal, is very clean. And they wanted to work with very clean wool, that should be the wool that they're going to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. ultimately, obviously, they're going to cut it and they're going to use, and they're going to put their hands on it, and it's not going to stay as clean. But again, very much the same point. They wanted to keep it as clean as possible for as long as possible. Then he gives another explanation. He says, we know that anything that is on a person is from that a live animal is not makabel tumah. Once the animal is no longer alive, or once the wool is detached from the animal, obviously the animal can become makabel tumah. There were many, many women who were involved in the preparation of the wool, these coverings of the Mishkan. And all these women who were involved in those preparation, it's inevitable, he explains, that one of them should not be a nida. And a nida would be metama, the wool, if it was detached from the animal. But as long as the wool is still on the animal's back, and the animal is still a live animal cannot be makabel tumah, and therefore, it was very appropriate that they should work with the animals while they were still alive. And then he brings one more pshat from the Lubavitch Rebbe Zatzal. The Lubavitch Rebbe says that the lesson over here was to teach us the value of something alive. We wanted to show, yes, we could certainly spin these curtains from the wool that was shorn from the animal. But Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted that to show how special life is, and to show that what's the extra chachmah. There's an extra chachmah to recognize and appreciate every living thing, even an animal. As long as it's alive, it has so much more value. And therefore, how did we show that lesson? The lesson was shown by spinning the wool while the animal was still alive. Something alive is very valuable, very special. We should cherish every minute of life. Now, we learned in the Mishnah, Shtei Gzustros, that we learned that if there are two Rishus HaYochids on the same side, one in front of the other, and you carry something from one to the other over the Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is that you're chayiv, because as we explained when we learned the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, when the Levim loaded the wagons, which they carried the krushim on, that's the way they loaded, we learned, those wagons. So, in our previous year, the Gemara spoke quite extensively about how those wagons looked, what were the dimensions of the wagons. And the Gemara in today's year, Mitzvah Shem, is going to discuss that further. Amar Rav Mishim Rav Chiya, as we learned in yesterday's year as well, the Agolos, when we speak about those wagons, Tachteyem, the area under the wagons, Ubeineyem, and the area between the wagons, Vitzideyem, and the area that's on the side of the wagon, all of them are Rishus HaRabim. They're all considered Rishus HaRabim. And from here we see, I saw that Ramash Klein Zatzal in the Shalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachis says that even if you have an area that's in the Rishus HaRabim that has all of the conditions that makes a Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaRabim, but people aren't walking in that area, it's still considered Rishus HaRabim. Because he says, let's think about this area where you had the wagons, which our Gemara in today's shir is going to learn is the source of how we learn many of the halachas of Rishus HaRabim. But while the wagons were there, obviously nobody could walk on that area. The wagons were taken off. From here we see that if it's an area where the cars are on a road, so obviously when there's a car on the road, you can't walk on that road. The car is on the road. But that doesn't mean that that road would not be considered a Rishus HaRabim. So now the Gemara discusses the dimensions of the wagons and the area around the wagons. Omer Abaya, ben Agola l'Agola, between one wagon and another wagon, is Kamala Eirich Agola. The length of every Agola, as we're going to learn in a moment, is 5 amis. Kamama Oirech Agola, 5 amis. So too was the area between the wagons that were traveling side by side. And as Tosfos Devar Maskil Bein points out, it's not that there was that there's any connection between these two dimensions. It's not that the area between the wagons was 5 amis because the length of the wagon was 5 amis. One has nothing to do with the other. It just happens to be that that's what it was. Ask the Gemara, Belomeli, why was it necessary for it to be 5 amis long? But Arbo Palgasagi, it would be adequate just to be 4.5 amis long. Why? Because as we learned in yesterday's shir, no matter, there were two opinions how we learned the kroshim was stacked on the agola. One opinion was that it was stacked on the width, which was 1.5 amis. So if you have, and then if you have such stacks, there were 3 stacks on each wagon. Each wagon, as we learned in yesterday's shir, had on it 12 kroshim. 12 times 4 for the 4 wagons equal 48, because there were 48 kroshim. So if you're going to have 3 stacks of 4 kroshim each, so that each one will be 1.5 amis. 1.5 amis will be 4.5 amis. Why do we need, and if we put it on the other dimension, where we put it on the part that's 1 amis wide, so as we learned in yesterday's shir, we'll have 4 stacks on every agola, 3 long, and then you only need 4 amis. So even if you'll have to have, as Rashi explains, a little extra space if you have 4 stacks, because you need space for the rings that were attached for the kroshim, where you're going to have them, still, even if the kroshim take off 4 amis, you're going to give yourself an extra 0.5 amis for those rings, but there is no reason to make it 5 amis long. Answers the Gemara, the reason they made it 5 amis long, they added that extra 0.5 amis, kigei de loylitchu kroshim. They didn't want the kroshim to be pressed next to each other. They were concerned that if they're going to be crushed next to each other, they could get damaged. And of course, they wanted to be very careful to make sure that those kroshim don't get damaged. Says the Gemara, Amaravit, Sidei Agola, the 2 sides of the wagon equaled Kamala Reichav Agola, the width of the Agola itself. Kama Reichav Agola, how wide was the gola itself? It was 2 amis amachza. It was 2.5 amis. So if the 2 sides, each was 1.25 amis, so if you'll have the 2 sides, each being 1.25 amis, so you'll have 2.5. And then you'll have the 2.5 amis of that gola itself. That will be a total of 5. What was in that 1.25? That 1.25 on each side of that gola was the area of the wheels of that gola. Ask the Gemara, Lomeli, but why do I need to have the wagon to be, the actual wagon, to be 2.5 amis wide, 1.5 amish should be enough, because since the boards are going to be laid across the top of the wagon, so then you want to have some boards inside the wagon maybe, but for that you have to have 1.5 amis, as we just learned. Why do you have to have it that wide they could stick out? Why did the actual wagon have to be that wide? Answers the Gemara, we wanted to have a base of the wagon itself being 2.5 amis wide, because if we're going to have the base of the agola itself being 2.5 amis wide, it'll be easier to put the kroshim in a sturdier fashion on top of them. Ask the Gemara, we know that one of the conditions of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is that a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim has to be 16 amis wide. Ask the Gemara, El de Kaimelon, that we have always learned Derech Rishus Rabbim, that the width of Rishus Rabbim is 16 amas wide, Ananda Gamrin Halacha Mishkan, as we learn all halachas of Shabbos, all halachas of Rishuyu Shabbos. From the Mishkan Chamesri Havah, it was only 15, because as we're learning, each agola from wheel to wheel was 5 amas. Then we learned that the area between the agolas was another 5 amas. Then we have the other agola riding alongside it is another 5 amas. So it's 5 times 3. 5 times 3 equals 15 amas. And that we said at the beginning of our shir is the area which is called the Rosh Hashanah. So why do we always say that Rosh Hashanah needs to be 16 amas wide? Answers the Gemara. Ami Yisera Hava. There was an extra amma given to this road on which the agolas traveled, the Avakoi Belevi, so there should be a space for where the Levi should be able to stand, the Chimishtalfi Kroshim, if the Kroshim would start to slide off, have a Nakadlo, he would be able to get there. So in order to have a room for the Levi to be able to move along the side of the agola, if necessary, he would run near the wheel to rearrange the boards, the kroshim. So we needed that extra amma for him to stand. So that's why the 15 plus 1 equal 16. That's how we have the width of the agola being 16 amas wide. Says the Mishnah, Choyes Habor, in the case that you have the bank around the pit, which is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Vasela, or you have a stone in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Shein Gevoyin Asara, that's 10 tefachim high, V'rochven Arba, and 4 tefachim wide, Hanoitel Mehem, somebody takes something off an object from that stone or bank, V'noisen Al-Gabim, if you put something on it, Yechayiv, because so since those areas have all the necessary dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so they become Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and therefore somebody placing or taking something from those areas into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa, is considered that he did a Maisa Hoitzah on Shabbos Yischayiv. Pachs became, but if you don't have those dimensions, Potter, because it's not considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Ask the Gemara, Lamli L'misna Chuyus Habav Asela. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us both about the Chuyus Habor and the Selah? If, as the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question, the point of the Mishnah is here to teach us, and Rashi explains this, that the dimension of a Rosh Hashanah Yochid is 10 high or 10 deep by a width of 4. But that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. The way the Mishnah could have expressed that halacha is by telling us Habor, a pit that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, or a cellar, or a stone, which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, are a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And we would have adequately been able to learn that halacha. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us about Choyus Habor HaSela, to teach us about the bank around the bar and the cellar? Both of them are actually teaching us the exact same halacha, that something which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. I'm learning the same halacha twice. If you wanted to teach us something interesting, ask the Gemara, you should have taught us Habor, which refers to the depth, and Hasela, which refers to the height. Mesaile Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah was expressed in the way it was, Mesaile Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bar v'choyosim etstarfen la'asara, that if you have a bar that doesn't have a depth of 10 tefachim, and the bank around it doesn't have a height of 10 tefachim, but if you combine them, you now will be chayiv. And as Rashi says, that if you're going to take something out of that pit, even though the pit itself doesn't have the depth of 10 tefachim, only because you have the chuy around it, it'll be enough to be considered to be carried on Shabbos from Rosh Hashanah Yochid or carried into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Similarly, the question is, if you have the pit that doesn't have a width of dalet tefachim, which we just said that the proper width to be considered Rosh Hashanah is a dalet tefachim. But if you combine the cholya around it, now you'll have that width. The halacha is that they will be considered an area of 4 tefachim wide. So just like the cholya could combine with the depth of the bar to get a 10 tefachim dimension, so too with the cholya combine with the width of the bar to get the 4 tefachim dimension. Tanya Mihachi, and says the Gemara, indeed we learned in a Braisa, Barber Shesurabim, if you have a pit in Shesurabim, if it's a Muka Sar of Ruchava Arba, if it's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, the halacha is Eimim Malam Menem B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to take water from that pit on Shabbos, because if you're taking the water from the pit to the area around it, which is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it'll be considered that you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Elam ken oslo, unless you make a mechitza around that area of a Gvaya Sar Tfachim, so that'll make that the entire area is considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And since it's considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, then you can carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And Tosfos, the very maskil Ella, teaches us that there's a very important lesson here. He says, since the bar is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, to be able to carry from the bar to outside the bar, and you have to make that the area outside the bar becomes Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And the only way that that could become Rosh Hashanah Yochid is by making a mechitza, by making a full-fledged wall. However, says Tosfos, if the bar did not have the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, if the bar had only the dimensions of a karmelis, so as we've learned so many times in the Masechta, you certainly may not carry from a karmelis to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But to make the area around that pit, which is only a karmelis, to be considered a karmelis, that you can carry from it to the other area, you don't need to have a full-fledged wall. Passim, just a makeshift wall, would be adequate. Elm ken osla mechitza, gevaya sar tfachim. Tosfos does point out that we know that the Gemara says about passe baros, that when they used to travel to be oil regal, and there were public wells on the way, in order to be able to carry from the public wells, which were obviously had the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you can make like 4 V-shapes on the 4 corners within that area, and you could carry. But if, as Tosfos we just learned, that from carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yochid, to make an area, if it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you need to make full-fledged walls, why were passive baros adequate? So Tosfos says that since it's a bar of the Rabbim, that's where Chazal made a special leniency that the passive baros would be sufficient. However, under normal circumstances, if you have a bar that's Rosh Hashanah Yochid and you want to be able to construct that the area around that bar, you should be able to carry from that area to the area right outside the bar, you need to make mechitza. Ven shoysim menu, continues Gemara, ven shoysim himenu b'Shabbos. If you did not make walls around that area, you can't drink from that bar on Shusser Rabbin. Unless you put most of your body within that bar. And the reason is, we're concerned that if you don't put Roshe Verubai into the bar, you're going to come to take from the bar out to the area outside of the bar, which will mean that you're going to carry from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And teaches us the Gemara one more halacha, which is the halacha of our Mishnah. The bar, the chuyasai, the depth of the bar and the height of the bank, mitzdarf and lasara, to combine to have the height of 10 tefachim, which we know when you have the height of 10 tefachim, the halacha is you have a full-fledged rishus hayoch. You have a full-fledged rishus hayochid. As I said, most rishonim are of the opinion that not only is the inside of the bar become rishus hayochid, but even the height of that bank around this area is also Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The Rashba seems to learn that the height, the area on top of the Cholya, will not be a Rishus HaRabim, and only from inside, only the area within this, within these Bar V'chul Yosai is considered Rishus HaYachid, but not the area that's on the top of the Cholya. Ask the Gemara Bamanei, Ramat Chimarova, Amid Rishus HaRabim, if you have a pole in the Rishus HaRabim, Gevoya Asara V'rachav Arba, it's 10 Tfachim high and 4 Tfachim wide. So now you have the dimensions of a Rishus HaYachid. V'zarek v'noch al gabov, and you threw something from the Rishus HaRabim, and it landed on top of this, post. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Mimrinin, hare akira b'isr, you picked up the item from the Rishus HaYachid, v'nocha b'isr, and it landed on Rishus HaYachid, you picked it up from the Rishus HaRabim, it landed on the Rishus HaYachid, and you certainly should be chayiv. Adilma, we have a new situation, asked the Gemara. Kivin the Mamakim Tor Ka'asya. What happened? The halacha is, as we've discussed numerous times, Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 Tfachim. And the reason it only goes up to 10 Tfachim, it's actually how halacha Moshe Sinai, is the way the Aruch HaShulchan and Aruch Chaim Simen Shin Mem Hei Sif Lamed Hei explains. He says, when you have Rishus HaYachid, so there's a concept of airspace of the Rishus HaYachid. The airspace of the Rishus HaYachid that I own also belongs to me. And therefore, it's considered the Rishus HaYachid. The definition, he says, of Rishus HaRabim is a place where people walk. So within, and people utilize that area. As we very often say, when we speak about Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, it's not in the same context of ownership. Maybe I own or don't own the area of in the Rishus HaRabim. But it's not a question of who owns it. It's a question, what is the area which is used by the Rabbim? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that only the area up to 10 Tfachim is the area used by Rabbim. The area above 10 Tfachim is not the area used by the Rabbim. So what is the situation here? If I'm throwing something from the Rishus HaRabim that's going to land on the top of Rishus HaYachid exactly at 10 Tfachim, in order for that to happen, it had to have first traveled above 10 Tfachim. And since it traveled above 10 Tfachim, if we just learned that the Rishus HaRabim only goes up till 10 Tfachim, the area above 10 Tfachim is Makom Ptor. So what happened here is it went from the Rishus HaRabim to the Makom Ptor to the Rishus HaYachid, and therefore maybe I'm not Chayiv. So Taisus asks a question. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta, HaMoitzi Mechanus L'Patya Derech Stav, if you carry from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim through a Karmelis, Yechayiv. So we learned that even though it didn't go directly from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, Yechayiv. So why would I think that you're not Chayiv here? So Taisus says a very important teretz. Taisus says, when I throw something or I carry something and I walk through a Makom Ptor, Avada I'm Chayiv. He says, but when you throw something, when we look at the case of our Gemara, I threw something for it to be able to land on the top of this pole. I have to throw it up, and then it starts going down, and it lands on top of the pole. The going down is not my direct action. And the way I sort of mefarshim explain, two ways of explaining. One is that it's gravity that pulls it down. Gravity is not my action, and therefore I should not be responsible. Another explanation that I saw is that it's koyach koychoi. It's not a result of my direct action. It's koyach koychoi. It's a derivative of my koyach. And since it's only a derivative of my koyach, I shouldn't be chayiv. The Ramban has a whole different approach. The Ramban's approach is that since that certainly you'll be chayiv. Here, since when it's laying on top of the post, it's only a post, it's not a full-fledged Rishus HaYachid, maybe that area on top of it should be considered a makom p'tor, and that's why it should be considered like a land in a makom p'tor. But we're going to learn with Tosfos' approach. So again, mi aminin harei kira b'isser, I did an akira in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, harei anocha b'isser, I did anocha in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and I therefore should certainly be chayif. Or dilma, perhaps we can make an argument, kiva the makom p'tor k'asya, since it traveled through, as we just explained, the makom p'tor, loy, you will not be chayiv. Amalei, masnisen hi. So he said, the answer to this question can be found in a Mishnah. Asa shaylei Rabbi Yosef. They asked the same question to Rabbi Yosef. Amalei, and he also gave the same answer, masnisen hi. It's a Mishnah. Asa shaylei Abaya. They came to ask this question to Abaya. And he too, amalei, masnisen hi. It's a Mishnah. Amalei, so Rav Martcha made the following comment. You're all spitting the same saliva. To say the same teretz without any depth, without any explanation, is not what I came here for. So it says, then you don't agree? Let's learn our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hanoitl v'anoisin al gabam, if somebody takes something from the Rishus HaYochid that's in the Rishus HaRabim, the stone, the pit, that we discussed at our Mishnah, if you take something or put something in there, you're chayiv. So you see, now when you put it there, you were carrying it above the area of 10 tefachim in order to put it on top of something which is 10 tefachim high. And yet our Mishnah says you're chayiv. So you see that the fact that it went through an area which is a makom p'tor doesn't exempt you from a chayiv. Amalei, so he says, Dima masnis v'machat. Our Mishnah may be speaking about where you just move the needle. And since the needle is so small, it doesn't really take up any space in the Makom P'tor. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, correct. A needle is very small. Of a machat nami, yefshed loy medalia porta. It's inevitable that even the needle takes up some room. And as soon as the 10 tefachim are up, that's when the Rosh Hashanah Rabim is over. It doesn't make a difference. It's very above the 10 tefachim or very close to the 10 tefachim. Once it's above the 10 tefachim mark, it's above the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So what's the teretz that our Mishnah is referring to a needle? Answers the Gemara, the Islay Mursha. Our Mishnah is referring to a rack. Now the rack is a Rosh Hashanah Yochid because it has the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It's 10 tefachim tall, 4 tefachim wide. But it has a little groove in that rack. That little groove in the rack doesn't diminish that rack from being considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And the needle hit inside that groove. So it's in the Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and it never had to travel above 10 tefachim out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim into the Makom P'tor. Inami, the Ramya Berechiritza. Even if on top of the rack there's a crevice. But again, you don't have to go above 10 tefachim to get into that crevice. Says the Gemara, Amar Meshe, by Rabbi Yochanan, Koisel b'Rishus HaRabim, you have a wall in the Rishus HaRabim, Gevoya Asara, Veinu Rochav Arba, it's 10 tefachim high, and it's not 4 tefachim wide. Mukav L'Karmas, as what we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, a Karmas could be a big open field that's not designated and that doesn't have a wall that was meant to be used for dwelling. So you have this wall right next to your karmus. Your karmus next to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and then somebody built a wall around the karmus. By building a wall around the karmus, you made the karmus into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So the area that's enclosed is certainly Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Now the Gemara's question is, this wall, which it itself doesn't have the dimensions of a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it's not 4 amos wide, will it become Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Mi aminin, kiven the Ein Aruch of Arba, an area that doesn't have the dimensions of 4 tefachim width, even if it has 10 tefachim height, is going to be a makom p'tor. A dilma, or do we perhaps say, this wall is very, very powerful. Why is it very powerful? It was able to make this area into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So kiven the asar Rosh Hashayachid, it has the ability of making this area into Rosh Hashayachid, command the Molidamya. We say that it is included in the area of the, and it too is considered a Rosh Hashayachid. So the Rashba says that certainly if this wall would have been encircling a Carmelis, so it would have the status of a Carmelis, now if I decided to use it for Rosh Hashayachid, it would become a Rosh Hashayachid. Because it was already something. The issue here is that at the beginning was only a Makom Patur. And the question is, could it jump, he explains, from being a Makom Patur to Rosh Hashayachid? Ula Kal V'Chomer. Of course it becomes a Rosh Hashayachid. For he says a Svara. Lachem Ois Mechitza, if it can become a wall to make the Rosh Hashayachid inside a Rosh Hashayachid, La'atzma Koshkein, it certainly for itself will be a Rosh Hashayachid as well. Itmanami, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, V'cher Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Kois Rosh Hashayachid and Gvaya Asar V'en Rokh of Arba, you have this wall that doesn't have the dimensions of Rosh Hashayachid in the Rosh Hashayachid, or Mokav Al-Karmel is for us Rosh Hashayachid, and that it was, and now you made that wall be the area around Rosh Hashayachid, the loch is Hazar V'noch Al-Gab of Chayiv. Because if Lachayim Mois Mechitza, it has the ability to be a Mechitza, to make the area inside of it a Rosh Hashayachid, La'atzmoy L'Kashkein. So, the Taz says that based on the Kav Chaymer alone, we wouldn't be able to make that it should be considered Rosh Hashayachid. He says there's another svara that we have to take into consideration. And that is the consideration of what the Gemara mentioned a moment ago of command the Malyadami. Does the halacha look as if that entire area, which is now Rosh Hashayachid, is one full enclosed area with the wall? So he says that we have a combination of the svara of command the Malyadami with the Kal V'Chomer that the Gemara just articulated, when we combine these two svaras, that's why the wall will be considered Rosh Hashayachid. The Shalos HaTshuvos Har Tzvi in Or Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Pei Vav uses this Gemara to teach us a very interesting halacha. He says the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah teaches us that if somebody wants to make a sukkah, the halacha, and he can't construct walls on Yontif to make a sukkah, the way he can make a sukkah is by having people stand around an enclosed area, and the people now become the walls of the sukkah. And that, the halacha is, that the area inside, if there's schach on top of it, will be considered a kosher sukkah. So the question that he addresses is this considered a kosher sukkah only for the people who are sitting within that enclosed area? Or will the halacha be that the walls, that the people themselves who are serving as the walls of this sukkah will also be considered as if they're in the sukkah and could eat standing that way? And he uses the Kal V'Chomer of our Gemara. He says, "Im lachem oisa mechitza, if these people can serve a mechitza as the walls of a sukkah for the people who are standing within the sukkah, la'atzmai le'koshkein, they certainly could serve to be considered a sukkah for themselves, and they would be allowed to eat in that space on sukkahs." Ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Yochanan, Bar Tisha, you have a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, so it's not a Rosh Hashayachid. But you take out a piece of earth, a clod of earth, from the bottom of the pit, and by taking out that clod of earth, now you have a Rosh Hashayachid. V'shlim alai sara, and now you have a Rosh Hashayachid. Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say Akiras Chayfetz Vasis Mechitz Bahadi Dodi Kasu? They come at the same time, and since they come at the same time, it's going to be considered that you took that clod out of an area that's Rosh Hashayachid. Umechayev, and therefore, if you deposit it then in Rosh Hashanah, it will be considered that you carried something from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashanah. Umechayev or loy mechayev, or when I took it out, it wasn't yet a Rosh Hashayachid. So since when I took it out, it wasn't a Rishus HaYachid, it doesn't become a Rishus. It will not be considered as if I took something, as if I made an Akira from something it's in a Rishus HaYachid. And says the Gemara, Vimtim Tzloima, Kivim Delay Hava Mechitza Sar Mikara, as I took the clod of earth out of this pit, at that point, it wasn't yet a Rishus HaYachid, and therefore Loi Mechayiv, Wawa Bir Alocha Bar Asara, we have a pit, which is exactly 10 tefachim deep. And now I deposited, I put into it a clod of earth. And as I put the clod of earth into it, now it's not 10 tefachim deep anymore. Because this clod of earth added, diminished from the depth of the bar. Now the bar is less than 10 tefachim deep. Now, what's the halacha? Hanochet chayfetz v'silas mechitz b'hadi adodi ka'asu. And therefore, they come at the same time, and it's not a Rishus HaYachid, or is still considered Mechayiv or Loi Mechayiv. So the Rishonim ask a question. Essentially, the two questions that the Gemara asked are really the same, whether I took out the clod of earth or deposited the clod of earth. But if you look at the words of the Gemara, it seems that the Gemara says that even if I'll say by the first case that I'm not going to be considered an Akira, it's still maybe going to be considered a valid Hanocha. So Taisus asks, why should there be a difference between the two Shilas of the Gemara? In both cases, the two questions should be exactly the same. It doesn't seem that the Gemara considers the two questions the same. The Gemara seems to say, you maybe will be Potter in the first case, and yet still be Chayiv in the second case. So Taisus answers that there's a difference between an Akira and a Hanocha. Because Taisus teaches us, there's a difference between a Tchilas Maisa and a Soif Maisa. When you're initiating something, it has to be much stronger than when you're just carrying on or moving on after you initiated something. And therefore, even though, as we have been learning from the beginning of the Masechta, in order to be Chayiv for carrying on Shabbos, certainly you need to have both an Akira and an Anocha. It could be that the Akira is more important than the Anocha, because the Akira is what initiates the Maisa HaTzah. And therefore, in this case, when you took the clod of earth out of this pit, it wasn't yet a Rishus HaYachid. It only is now becoming a Rishus HaYachid. So that's considered a weak Akira. When you have a weak Akira, that's not an Akira, has to be strong to be considered an Akira, because the Akira is what's initiating the whole Maisa HaTzah. Whereas in the second question, it's referring to what is going to be the status of the Hanocha. A Hanocha doesn't have to be such a strong Hanocha to be considered a Hanocha, because a Hanocha is not the beginning of the Maisa HaTzah, it's only the completion of the Maisa HaTzah, and the completion of a Maisa HaTzah is not as difficult to accomplish as the beginning of a Maisa HaTzah. So Gemara says, Tifshlam Didei, I bring you a raya from something Rabbi Yochanan taught us. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Hazarek Arba Amos Bekoisel, if somebody's standing 4 Amos away in the Rishus HaRabim from the wall, and he throws something at the wall, the loch is Lamalim Asar Tfachim, if it landed above 10 Tfachim, Kazarek Ba'aver. Because as we keep on learning in our shir, Rishus HaRabim does not extend above 10 tefachim. L'mate Masara, if it's, however, hit the wall below 10 tefachim, Kazarik Ba'aretz, it's like throwing it on the ground. And we learn, Hazarik Ba'aretz Arba Amos, if you carry, you throw something within that, Rishus HaRabim for Dal Amos, Yechayiv. But when we learned this Mishnah, we asked the question, Rabbi Yochanan asked the question, if you throw something against the wall, it doesn't rest on the wall. You can never have a chiv for carrying, whether it's a Rishus HaYoch or Rishus HaRabim, or carrying Dalar Am's Rishus HaRabim without Hanocha. So Rabbi Yochanan explained, the Bedveil Shmeina Shnina. We're talking about a sticky fig that sticks to the wall. Vamai. But then I asked the Gemara, you were standing exactly 4 amos away from this wall. If you have the fig stick to the wall, it diminishes from the length of Dalar Amos. V'amai, holu kama matna ba amos. So we see that doesn't make a difference. And we see from here that since it only comes afterwards, it's considered a valid Hanocha. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the case. Hasalam evatalei. When you throw a fig against the wall, it's not meant to remain there permanently. So since it's not meant to remain there permanently, so it doesn't diminish from the area. Here, however, kamavatle, you meant that it should remain there permanently, and therefore maybe it made it that it should be Rishus HaYochid, and the Anocha will not be considered Anocha. By Rava, Zorak Daf Anocha Gabi Yisaitis. Somebody standing in the Rishus Rabbim, and he throws a board, and it comes to rest on top of pegs that are 10 tefachim high that were in the Rishus Rabbim, and by this Daf, by this board landing on those pegs, you become the Rishus HaYochid, Mahu, says the Gemara. What's your question? The question is really the question that we just discussed. It becomes a Rishus HaYochid at the same time as it lands. So isn't that the question that Rabbi Yochanan asked? What is the new, what's different about this question? Answers the Gemara. Keep coming by the Rava. Rava's question was, he threw a board that has an object on top of it. Mai. So how do we look at it? So it's not that we're not talking about that you should be chayiv for the landing of the board. It could be you're certainly not chayiv for the landing of the board, because when the board landed, it wasn't yet a Rishus HaYochid. Do we say, however, that the chayfetz that's on top of the board, kiven v'adadi hadadi kasi, they both land on these pegs at the same time, kanocha chayfetz v'sriyis mechitzadami, and therefore it's considered one maisa, and therefore he should not be chayiv, because when it landed on this board, the board wasn't yet a Rishus HaYochid. Or Dilma, kim de efshed loy midla port v'hodanayich, first the board lands, and then the object on top of it shakes, and then it comes to rest. So now, when it came to rest, it was already resting on an area which is Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, since they don't come simultaneously, they come one right after the other, and therefore here everybody will agree that perhaps you're chayiv, or maybe they'll look as if it happened at the same time, and it won't be chayiv, and the Gemara remains with a takeout.